Okay, so today we're going to talk about how many people really went down to Egypt. Actually, when I did my research, there's another question which I'm not going to really discuss because it's like a comparative theology question. Apparently, the New Testament, they say there were 75 souls who went down to Egypt, not 70. But we're not focusing on that. We're focusing on what the Torah says. Torah says in Pasuk, in Perek Mem Vav, Pasuk Chav Zayin. It says, "Kol ha'nefesh lebeis Yaakov haba mitzrayma shivim." So all the Jews, all the souls belonging to the house of Yaakov who went down to Egypt, totaled 70. Okay, and I write here. I have you have 33. This is in Perek Mem Vav, Pasuk Tezvav, 33 from Leah. You have 16 from Zilpah. So it's a total of 49. You have 14 from Rachel, 63, and 7 from Bilhah, and that's 70, right? You have the number of Leahs in Pasuk Tes Vav, Zilpah's Yud Ches, Rachel's Chof Beis, and Bilhah's Chof Hei. Now, where did the problem start? The problem starts is that the Torah tells us in Pasuk Tes Vav that there are 30, that if you count the names, you go through all the names, you only get to 69, you don't get 70. And then you're wondering, where are we missing? And you look here in Pasuk Tes Vav, which says there are 33 from the family of Leah who went down, and you count, and you only get to 32. You'll have to take my word for it, or you don't have to. Count Pasuk Tes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, Pasuk Yud, 6, 7, 8, 9. 10, 11, 12. And then we got, right? Oh, so, but you can't wait. So you have Reuben, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32. There's a total of 32 names. Okay? So that's the problem. So number of descendants is 69, not 70. Number of descendants of Leah is 32, not 33. And in fact, if you do the math in Pasuk Chavav, Pasuk says how many people went down to Egypt? Right, 66. And then Yosef's children, Yosef and his children, Yosef and two children, three.
70.
66 plus three is 70. Okay, so we're missing one, so we have to account for missing one. And the other interesting point is I bolded two women. The list of 70, there are only two women: Dina in Pasuk Tes Vav and Serach in Yud-Zayin. And what happened to the other women? Were they around? Were they not around? So, why? What's with that?
The other women, meaning the wives?
Were there any other women? I mean, it's just a major. Okay, maybe the wives. Of maybe the wives of the tribes of any of these people, and now the first of all, either mention none of them, or mention all of them. Why are you mentioning two, Dinah and Serach?
Because I think because they were like the main, the first generation.
What do you mean?
Well, Dina was part of, the first, the other. Dina, Sarah, right?
Well, no,
The wives.
Sarah was
Well, the
a.
wives didn't count, maybe, and then
So why
they
don't.
had any grand.
So
Well,
why don't.
women
So
are.
fine. So why don't the wives count? And what? Why don't the wives of the Shvatim count? As a and what? Sarah, she was the only daughter of all the children here, of all the tribes. She's the only daughter. A little strange.
Sarah and Dina, no.
Okay. Okay, maybe. Okay, so we're going to see what are the solutions for. So who's number 70? So the most popular answer, which is because Rashi says it, but predating Rashi, who's the most popular answer? Who's number 70?
Yaakov.
Okay, that's not the most. That's actually not. I don't think that's the most popular answer. We'll get to that
Really?
answer. So fine. I guess it's a matter of opinion. Okay, the most popular answer is Yocheved. Targum Yonasan ben Uzziel says explicitly, it's a translation, but sometimes the translation is an explanation. So Duvnoi de Yosef de Shiladu, he says he's going on Pasuk of Zayin. Uvnoi de Yosef de Shilidu Leben Mitzrayim, Nashasa trade. The children of Yosef were born to Mitzrayim or two. V'Yosef, to have Mitzrayim. Yosef was in Egypt. V'Yocheved Bras Levi, Dis Yalidas B'Malhon L'Mitzrayim Bene Turaya. Right, you had 66 born in outside Israel. Like, 66 born outside Mitzrayim. And then you have Yosef, and his two kids were at that point in Egypt. And talking about Yosef and Israel, is like, well, we're missing one, and that is Yocheved, who was born between the walls. So Rashi says, Shloshim v'shalosh, ube partan iata moti ala shloshim ishtayim, and the children of Leah, you only find 32. Elezu Yocheved, shenolda beira chamos, b'chnisasam l'ir. But Yocheved was born between the walls, at the entrance of the city. Shedem arsha yolda, also Levi b'mitzrayim. Leidasa b'mitzrayim v'in harasa b'mitzrayim. She was born in Egypt, but she wasn't conceived in Egypt. So first of all, we're making two different points about Yocheved. One point that we're making about Yocheved is that she was born between the walls, seems like on the border. And we're making a second point about what's unusual about her is that she was conceived outside Egypt and was born in Egypt. Two different points about this. Now, what's the evidence for this? Well, we're trying to find someone, first of all. And we have in Bamidbar Chavav, Pasuk Nun Tes, that's where Rashi gets his evidence from. There the Pasuk tells us, V'shem Eishas Amram Yocheved Bas Levi, Asher Yolda Oso Levi Mitzrayim. So the wife of Amram was Yocheved, that was born to Levi in Egypt. Okay? So, why does the Torah have to say that? Why does the Torah specifically have to say that she was born in Egypt? The Torah could have the psukim there just talk about a whole bunch of children in Bamidbar Chavav. Why does it have to mention that she was born in Egypt specifically? So that's where the Midrash HaGadol says, Me'acha she'peira she'leidasa Mitzrayim lamanu she'ibura hayo be'eretz Kanaan. Ah, why is it telling you that she was born in Egypt? Everyone in Bamidbar Chavav, they talk about all the families. This is all about all the families, and the genealogy. Why is it mentioned specifically about Yocheved being born in Mitzrayim? I tell you, she's unique. That she was only born in Mitzrayim and not born and not conceived in Mitzrayim. So that's sort of the evidence. That's a textual evidence of this kind of in-between state. Maybe the 66 who went down are those who were born outside Mitzrayim. That's what Torah says. Anyone who was born outside Mitzrayim. I just want to point out, the Ramban says it very differently. So why does it say that she was born in Mitzrayim? Oh, derech hapshat, she kol b'nei Yaakov, im kol b'neiim, v'noseim, yard l'Mitzrayim. Ve'ein bahem mi sheholid sham acharechein. That all of Yaakov's children went down to Egypt, and once they got to Egypt, they didn't have any more children. Zulasi Levi Shaholed Ema Barim Smecha. Kihar Shemidasa Kilo Gia Kates. So there the Ramban says the reason why the Torah says that Levi fathered her in Mitzrayim is not to tell you, oh, she was born in Mitzrayim, but she was conceived before. No, it wants to tell you that what's unique about her is that she's the only child of the Shvatim who was born in Mitzrayim. That's what Ramban understands, that extra phrase. But Rashi, following the Midrash HaGadol, explains that Asher Yoldo Salev Mitzrayim, the fact that it goes out of its way to tell us she was born in Mitzrayim, she says she was only born, but she wasn't conceived in Mitzrayim. Now, the Torah Tamima says that, why does it say B'Mitzrayim? So, you want to say, so what, another explanation. What's B'Mitzrayim? She was born in Mitzrayim. Leidasa Bein HaChomos. What does it mean? Bechomos Ore Mitzrayim Klomer Alakvul. She was born at the border. So that can sort of explain how you have 66 who were coming to Mitzrayim, who were born outside Mitzrayim and therefore coming to Mitzrayim. You have three who are already in Mitzrayim proper, and so therefore you have to add one who was sort of like in between. So I guess the border, like the Bein HaShemashos, as it were, of Mitzrayim, between the walls on the border, and that is Yocheved. And we also have a Gemara who says, to Asher Yolda Osa and Gomer Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Chav Gimel Beis, that says that Asher Yolda Osa Levi Mitzrayim, Le Dasa Be Mitzrayim, Veda Rasa Mitzrayim, that she wasn't conceived in Mitzrayim. And the Rashbam says, ah, so then the question though is, why, if indeed Yocheved is number 70, so why doesn't the Torah mention her? So the Rishpam says, "V'lachach lo parat ba, shredai lo yatzel avir holam ela uber me'ima ha'isa b'chnisat Mitzrayim." It doesn't fit. The Torah doesn't mention her because it just doesn't fit. You have the 66 who are coming down to Mitzrayim. You have Yosef and his two children who are in Mitzrayim. So I guess the Torah could have said, by the way, there was another one who was born on the way. Torah did not mention that explicitly, but Yocheved does not fit into any of the two categories, and therefore she's not mentioned. So that's generally the most popular answer, that it was Yocheved. Now, what's the drawback of this approach? The drawback of this approach is it doesn't mention her explicitly in the psukim. Like, that's obviously the drawback. In other words, if you're gonna say there were 70, so you should mention all 70. Okay, it didn't mention her because she doesn't fit into either category. Well, just so mention a third category of those who were born, who were conceived outside Mitzrayim and born in Mitzrayim, but those who were born by the borders. Why don't we mention that at all explicitly? That's a drawback of this approach. So Baruch mentioned the Rashbam's approach. So solution number two for the 70. Rashbam says, Yotze Yerecha bar Mitzrayim kol nefesh shishim v'sheish, ki Yaakov shehu mi'cheshbon shel shloshim. Shalosh. Yaakov is number 33. In other words, he had 32 descendants from Leah, and he's number 33. Eino bichlal yotze yirecho. So he's not yotze yirecho. In other words, there was 66 coming from Yaakov. So that's not him. Right? There were 66. In other words, he joins the family of Leah, so he gets a 33. But he's not part of the 66 who are yotze yirecho, that coming from him. Only 69 coming from Yaakov. And when Moshe says you were 70, you went down to Egypt, so that includes Yaakov. And this is based on a Midrash in Bereishis Rabba. The Rashbam is not the first one to say this. The Midrash in Bereishis Rabba says that Yaakov completed the count. And the Medrash now gives a fascinating mashal, a fascinating parable. He says the following. He says, Omar Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak says, Mashtol lishtei legionos shel melech. It's a parable to two different legions of the king, Jukminios and Gustaino. Okay, two different legions of the king. Bisha shamelech nimnaim elu nimsu shlemim. When the king is listed with them, then they're complete. And when the king is counted with the other legion, then they're also complete. What's going on here? How is this connected to Yaakov and number 70 with the two legions? Like, what does that mean? All right. So who do you think the two legions are? In our context, we're saying when the king is with one legion, he completes them, and when he's with the other legion, he completes them. Who's the legion? Who are the two legions here? What?
Rachel and Leah.
Rachel and Leah. Because, right, he's first listed with the 33. He's first listed with Leah. And then at the end, you have 66. And then he's listed with the remainder to get to 70. He's listed with the Bnei Yosef. I think that's what the Medrash is getting at. In other words, he first is listed with the Bnei Leah, and then we have 66 plus the others. Who are the others? Yosef and his two kids, and Yaakov. So we'll see perhaps what the goal of this is, but that's another way of under, of that's a second solution. That Yaakov is counted with Leah and counted with Rachel. He completes both in some sense. It means that he's probably connected, the message he's connected to both. He's the father of Rachel's children, equally the father of Leah's children, a sense of unity, a sense of achdus. Maybe that's what the mashal. The midrash is getting back from the mashal. We have another solution. Who else can number 70 be? You got Yocheved. We have Yaakov. Who else could it be? So if you look at the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, Perek Lamentes, Medrash there says, Kishabo Ligvul Mitzrayim. When they reach the borders of Egypt, Nisyachasu Kol Hazcharim Shishim Vashesh. So all the men, it's really not all the men plus Dina and Serach are 66. I'm sorry, I'm trying to make this bigger. V'Yosef is Shnei Banav. V'Yosef is two kids. Harei Shivim Chaser Echas, 70 minus one. V'Chsi v'Shiv Nefesh Yodav Masech B'Mitzrayma. Ah, but you need 70. Ma Asa Kadosh Baruch Hu. What did God do? Nichnas Imahem B'Minyan. God is number 70. He entered with them in the count. V'Ol L'Mispar Shivim. Now they get to number 70. V'Kai Ma'ashen Amar, to fulfill that which it says. Anochi eredim cham Mitzrayim. I will go down with you to Egypt. Uchshalu yisom Mitzrayim. And when Klal Yisrael went up from Egypt, nityachasu kol gvarim shishim ribo chaser echad. So all the men numbered 600,000 minus one. Also, Masa Kadosh Baruch Hu. What did God do? Nichnas b'mispar imahem. He counted with them as well. Balu misparam shishim ribo. And he's part of the 600,000. I'll go down with you to Mitzrayim, and I will come up with you from Mitzrayim. So number 70 is none other than God. Okay? So the advantage of Yaakov and God is that Torah never mentions Yocheved. The advantage of saying it's Yocheved is that it's the extra one is included in the children of Leah. Right? Now, before we get to the final solution, how do we deal with the fact that we have two women in the count? Now, why not all the women or none of the women? Why just two of the women? So the Ramban tries to give an answer to this. So he says, Kasav Rabbeinu Shlomo, L'divrei HaOmer Ta'omos Noldim Shvatim. So there's an opinion that the Shvatim were born with twins. So maybe you can say they would have been counted, but they all died. But the Ramban says, "Ain't sarach l'zeh." You don't have to say this. Sharei Amrum, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Lach Yosef.
They do mention that Aaron Onan in the list, even though they say
we're going to mention. We're going to get to Aaron Onan before the Shira is done. It mentions Aaron Onan and they die, and then it mentions Chetzron and Chamul.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get, there's a point, there's an interesting point about them. We'll get them in a bit. Shrei Amru, Rabbi Yudom Mer Lach Yosem Nasu Ashvatim, that the Shvatim married the sisters. Yvine Ein Eila Ta'omos Neshe Banav, and these twins are not the wives of his, the twins were the wives of his children. Because of Marleha Melvad Neshe B'nei Yaakov. All the Pusik said was that there were 70 people went down other than the wives of Yaakov. So therefore, the wives of the Shvatim should be included. Rabbi Yehuda Mizeh HaKasa Omer Kain, Kima Tam Lomer Milvad Neshe B'nei Yaakov HaKananios, Achrei Shomer Yotze Yerecho. Why does the Pasuk say, other than the wives of the children of Yaakov who are Kananim? Why does it say Milvad Neshe B'nei Yaakov? That other than the wives of the children of Yaakov, the Torah simply says there are 70 Yotze Yerecho that come directly from Yaakov. So obviously it would not include his daughters-in-law. because they're not Yotze Yerecho. So why does the pasuk then say also that the 70 is Yotze Yerecho, and the 70 are also Milvad Neshe Bnei Yaakov? That's obviously correct. So Rak Bavur Neshe Banav Gam Him Miyotze Yerecho Yom Arkeim. So it must be that we're saying that the wives of his children were also from him. Also Yotze Yerecho. So the Aval Lo Pirsei Mosan Bekan Kashelo Hiskiran Beisli Dasam Mishvatim. But the Torah doesn't mention it here. Va'od Kilo Hiskir Heina Raka Sheyolidu V'Yisrabu Mitzrayim. The pasuk here only mentions those who will have children in Mitzrayim. Lo Dianes Hagadol Nasib Ribu Ha'atzum Asher Rabu Mitzrayim, to show how miraculous it is that there were so many people. Fehem bozeh shivim nafesh, and that's the 70. Uneshem lo yimnu ki ha'ish im ishto hu echad. Ishto kegufo. They didn't include the wives of the Shvatim because they're like one. The husband and wife are like one. So must be, why does the Torah include Dina and Serach? Presumably what? So there's a medrash that says after Dina was raped, she didn't have enough, she remained a spinster. Maybe also Serach never got married. So that could be why they only mention Dina and Serach, as opposed to the other women who were the spouses of the children of Yaakov. So they're like Ishto Kegufo, they're the same.
And Rabbi, just to be clear, it means the Ramban finds out that the Yaakov married their sisters, half-sisters, step-sisters.
Yeah, he's following along with that medrash. Yeah, he's
seeing. Maybe that's the reason the Torah didn't mention it, because obviously after Matan Torah...
Oh, it looks bad. He said it looks bad. Oh, okay. Okay, I hear. Interesting. I hear it. Something to think about. Okay. One final approach. There's a professor, Umberto Casuto. He was an Italian rabbi and Tanakh scholar who passed away in 1951. And he says, don't get hung up 69, 70. Don't get hung up on numbers. In fact, the Chizkuni writes, V'kasev holech acher harov. The pasuk sort of rounds off. Don't get so crazy. It's only 69, not 70. Pasuk rounds it off. Now, could be the number of 70 is very significant. This is what he says. For example, you have Rabbeinu Bachaye. He points out that you have 70, with God it's 71. You have 70 Zakenim with Moshe 71. Sanhedrin, 70, with the Nasi 71. Umos Ha'olam, nations of the world, with 70, with Klai Yisrael 71. Talk about 70 angels who surround the Kisei HaKavod with God at 71. So the number 70 is a chashuv number. It's a significant number. And again, we've seen already b'shivim nefesh yodei v'sech mitzrayma that we went down with 70. Now we have, when we left Egypt, we're like the stars from 70 to 600,000. Could be what the professor Casuto says, that this list of 70 is a common literary phenomenon in Tanakh. 70 symbolizes a large clan or a community. And the point is that after the ups and downs with the Yaakov's family, this is the list. Despite their flaws, they're a clan, they're a community. And also, this is the transition from, right, in the Bris Ben Avsarim, now going down to Egypt, which will eventually lead to 600,000 people.
And with that, yeah. And 70 kibbutzim surrounding Shlomo's bed.
Okay, that could be the angels. Yeah, it could be the angels. Okay. Now, I'm going to get back to Baruch's part about Aaron Onan. The Torah tells us that Aaron Onan died, and Peretz and Zerach, right, were born. And Aaron Onan died, and in effect, Chetron and Chamul replaced. It's almost as if they replaced Aaron Onan. Yehuda's children, Er, Onan, Shelah, Peretz, and Zerach. We don't count Er and Onan because they died in Canaan. But Chetzer and Chamul are included. Now let's think about this. When were Chetzer and Chamul born? Now we don't know exactly, but let's think about this. Yosef was away from his family for 22 years. He was sold, and he was away from his family for 22 years. Yehuda, after the sale, if the Torah is going in chronological order, Yehuda leaves his brothers right after the sale of Yosef. He marries a woman. He has Er, Onan, and Shelah. So let's say 2 years later, right? 2 years later, he had Shelah. And what happens? Tamar, he wants to marry off Er and Onan to Tamar. It doesn't work out. And they're waiting for Shelah, right, to get older. And when Shelah becomes a Gadol, 13, let's say Gadol is 13, Tamar sees that Shelah has not been given to Tamar, so she takes the matter in her own hand, and she has relations with Yehuda, and they have twins, Peretz and Zerach. So meaning that the story between Tamar and Yehuda, when they were intimate with each other, was probably at least 15 years after the sale of Yosef, right? Because he has to give birth to Er, Onan, and Shelah. You have to wait 13 years till Shelah's old enough and not having a child. So it's probably like 15 years later. And then what are we saying? Peretz has two kids. And remember, they went down 22 years after the sale of Yosef. So you're telling me that Peretz had these kids when he was 7 years old? In other words, it's conceivable that really Chetzer and Chamul were born actually when they were in Egypt. But in some sense, they're simply replacing Aaron and Onan. Maybe the goal is to get it close to 70. Now, the Orach Chaim HaKadosh points out that Ubnei Yehuda, Er Vodad, why do you mention them? They already died. Why does Torah mention their deaths? Why is it, and it was the children of Peretz? Should just say Ubnei Peretz. The children of Peretz were so and so. That's the way it says for everyone else. Because this is like Yibum, that the soul of the deceased replaces. And the Pasuk tells us that Aaron Onan, in their place, Chetzer and Chamul are in the place of Aaron Onan, in a sense. There's Yehuda had five kids. Was that five kids? Aaron Onan. Right? And then, I'm sorry. So Chetzron and Chamul, in a sense, you know, Yehuda was supposed to come down with five kids, and Aaron and Onan die, and then what happened? And then, he wants to say Aaron and Onan died, and in their place was Chetzron and Chamul. I think in the last year I said their place was Peretz and Zerach. But the Orach Chaim HaKadosh wants to say, why does he mention Aaron Onan? Because Yehuda had these five kids, right? These five kids, Aaron Onan, Shelah, Peretz, and Zerach. Now, Aaron Onan, there are no more. They died. In their place, they had Chetzer and Chamul. But my point being is that they probably were born, in all likelihood, they were probably born after they came down to Egypt. But it's not so important. The goal is to give 70. According to Professor Kasuto, 70 is a magic number. And the goal is to try to get to that number 70. Because to highlight this notion about we were a clan, we were ready to move on to our next step in our history, to go from 70 eventually to 600,000. So we provided four different possibilities of who the 70th person is. And what's the message of each perspective. If you hold the 70th person is Yocheved, so you can argue like this. Some Jews were born in the pure environment outside Egypt, and some were born in Egypt and knew only Egypt in their home. There was one woman who was born Bein HaChamos. She was rooted in the past, but she understood the present. And maybe Yocheved represented the individual who had the ability to transform Egypt without being transformed by it. She was someone who straddled both worlds. She, you know, that she was someone who was rooted in the tradition outside Egypt, but she was born in Egypt, in the New World, she was able to adapt based on her ancient traditions. It's part of the, and it's fascinating, it's part of the salvation of the Jewish people. Was how did it start? It's according to Chazal, by Yocheved, who was the midwife. Because again, she understood the modern world in which she was in. She understood the world of Egypt, but she was still also rooted in the past. If you hold the 70th person was Yaakov, then the point is that even as the children went down to Mitzrayim, the image of Yaakov must remain with them as they go down to Egypt. This idea of Demus Jokdo, that as they go down to Egypt, it's all about Yaakov's children. But there's always the father, the image of the father, and that would keep Klal Yisrael together, not assimilated. You know, what would Daddy have done, right? What would Yaakov Avinu have done? If the image, if the 70th entity or being is God, then the message, of course, is Imo Enochi Betzara. But even when we go down to slavery, Kadosh Baruch Hu is still with us. And if we follow the fourth approach, the round figure, this idea of how we were a clan, we went down to Egypt, a unit, and look what happened, Baruch Hashem, we miraculously multiplied thanks to the goodness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.